RadioInfluence.com.
Welcome back to another edition of the MMA Report podcast. This is the interview edition of the show. And in this episode, you're going to hear from two men who run MMA organizations. You're going to hear from the CEO of Shamrock FC, Jesse Finney, as they've got shows coming up here at the end of the month on June 25th and 26th in Missouri. Spoke to him about everything that's been going on with Shamrock FC. Of course, this will be their first events since 2020 due to the pandemic. Spoke about why he's doing shows on back-to-back nights. Also, got his take on not just a fight. He tells a great story about how there's a fight on the card where it's a winner-take-all purse fight. Also, got his take on Dustin Lampros, who is on this season of the Alto Fire, came up through that Shamrock scene. Also, talked to him about Joaquin Buckley, who he's very familiar with. Of course, we've seen succeed now in the UFC. Then you're going to hear my conversation with the president of the XFC, Meyer Malaki. Of course, they are coming off their event there in Des Moines, Iowa, XFC 44, as the finals are now set in the lightweight and welterweight tournament. And in this conversation, he's going to break a little bit of news on when those finals will take place, the dates of the targeted dates of those shows, and where those shows will take place. Of course, as always, appreciate taking time out of your day to download and listen to this episode of the MMA Report podcast. Of course, a great way to show your support for the podcast is by leaving a rating and review on whatever podcasting platform that you are listening to the show on. Of course, you can always check out the sponsors of the MMA Report podcast over at themmareport.com. Of course, over at themmareport.com, all of our podcasts, video interviews, everything is up there. So be sure to check out themmareport.com. But let's get right into the interviews. Up first, you're going to hear my conversation with Shamrock FC CEO Jesse Finney. Joining me now here on the MMA Report is the man that we've had on the show plenty of times before, and he is back here. Shamrock FC back-to-back nights here at the end of the month, June 25th and 26th. Jesse, as always, man, appreciate the time. It's been a long time since you've been able to put on that promoter shoe. You know, I talk to so many fighters, and I'm like, hey, man, what do you miss about fight night? I mean, obviously, you're in all aspects of the fight game. What do you miss the most about fight night as a promoter?
Well, long time to talk. Way too long, so I can tell you that. I would say, you know, for me, missing the most is probably just the fans and this the kickoff of the show and the energy. I've said this to multiple people on multiple occasions. If I could do this and do it for free, I would do it for free because I miss it so much. And that's why we're doing two shows back to back. Like, we have so many fighters and so many fans, and it's been nuts. So I cannot wait to get back to June 25th and June 26th and get this thing rolling. It's like Christmas 2 days in a row for me.
Look, I am sure when you announce these events, your phone was ringing off the hook going, hey, Jesse, put me on the show. Jesse, put me on the show.
It really was. And it, you know, and here's the thing, like, we have had so many fighters have been so loyal to us for so long. You know, we couldn't just take, you know, 26 fighters, which is, you know, 13 fights on the card, and say these 26 have been good to us and loyal to us and stood by us. And, you know, we couldn't do that. It was like, hey, listen, we got more than that. We got a roster of probably 80, right? So we had to put two shows back to back. And quite honestly, I mean, the first 10 days we put tickets on sale, we sold like 76% of the tickets. So it was like, oh my gosh. And then I was like, we got to take care of these other fighters as well, because they've been sitting around waiting as well. So we said, hey, let's give it a crack. We've never done it before. So let's make up for lost time. And I'm really looking forward to it. So, and we sit here, you know, 3 weeks out right now, and we're going, hey, listen, right now, like, our Friday night show is almost caught up to the front, to the Saturday night show. So we've done shows in the past where we did like one in St. Louis, and then we would jump in the truck and then go to Kansas City, which is like a 4-hour drive the night after, which was kind of crazy. But we've never done one city, two nights at the same casino. So it's going to be crazy. So it's pretty exciting.
You know, and that was obviously one of the things I was going to ask you about is, you know, why two shows? But the other part of this is, you know, you waited obviously some time. Was that just primarily about of like, look, if I'm putting on shows, I want fans to be able to be in the building?
It really was. And I think if you know me long enough now that, like, if we're going to do something, we're going to do it right. And, yeah, you know, we probably could have done something and did 50% capacity. And I wasn't going to do it unless it was done right. I wasn't going to do it. I wanted to make sure everything was safe, number one. Number two, the casino was good with everything. But if we're going to do it, man, we put on a quite a production. So it's like the fans are a big part of it for us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all of our sponsors have been loyal to us. I mean, how do you tell one sponsor they can go, but you can't do the other one? You know, so I feel like it's, you know, we wanted to do 100% capacity. And to be quite honest, they emailed me and texted me and said, hey, we want to do a show. And my first question was, what capacity? And they said 100%. I said, I'm in. So I wasn't going to do it unless we're going to do it right. And you know what? We're doing it right. We're going to do it double right on a Friday and a Saturday.
From your perspective, just because of, you know, you know, from the fighter aspect, promoter aspect, you know, guy running a gym business, as you've looked at MMA over the last year and how shows have been done, like, what stuck out to you about them?
Man, you know what? You got to think outside the box. I mean, for us, we've got such a big library. It's kind of, we got a chance to reflect and kind of go back and also, you know, plan for the future and see exactly what was the right things, the wrong things. And we were running so hard, so fast for the last, I mean, really 22 years, really. Like, I mean, we've done, this will be our 330th show coming up. So it's like, that's a lot of shows, man. I mean, it's a lot of fights. And so for us, we'll be able to sit back and go, hey, you know what? Let's go with this. Let's go with that. Let's up this next time. Let's slow this down. And when we come back out on June 25th, we're going to blow some people's minds. And I can't wait. Like, I mean, like I said on multiple occasions here, it's like, listen, I would do this for free for the fans and the fighters if we could. And so I cannot wait to feel the energy in the building. It's going to be nuts.
And, of course, on the 25th, of course, for the fans who are not there in St. Charles, Missouri, can watch these on Fight TV. Evan Elder versus CJ Hunter is the main event at 155 pounds. So talk to me a little bit about this matchup.
Well, yeah, you know, Evan Elder, I think, will probably be in the UFC sometime this year or next, very soon. We just had, you know, Dustin Lampros in, Joaquin Buckley in. We've had a bunch of people come in as of recent, and I think that Evan Elder is probably the next one to probably get in there. Evan or Arian Zeki, I think, is going to come up pretty quick, too. I think, you know, we got some Dylan Tolbert. I mean, someone like an Evan Elder is, the kid's got the whole package. He's got the whole package. Mm-hmm. He's down there training at Sanford MMA. He is Michael Chandler's main training partner. He was living and training here in St. Louis for multiple years. And he's a dynamite young man, too. So, like, if you see someone that you want to represent the sport and represent Shamrock FC in the UFC, it's someone like Evan Elders. Good, clean-cut kid. CJ Hunter's a veteran of the sport. It's been around a long time. Really good jiu-jitsu player. And he's slick. He's really slick. So I think that if you look at if Evan can keep the fight standing and showcase his talents, or Evan wants to showcase his wrestling, been wrestling with Michael Chandler the whole time. So we'll see how that goes. But CJ Hunter is a kid you just don't sleep on. I mean, he's a kid that they bring in from out-of-town fights expecting to lose, and he pulls up upset victories. So I'm really looking forward to that. And, you know, our co-main event is Drew Giddings is fighting Derek Varnin, and Drew Giddings is, as far as kickboxing goes, is probably one of the best kickboxers out there. Mm-hmm. So I can't wait to see how this is all going to shake out when it's all said and done. We got, you know, Derek Scott, you know, is on there. We've got David Evans, who's on there. I mean, a lot of guys – Jeremiah Cutright, I mean, that's our main card. Our cards are stacked for Friday and Saturday.
Of course, you also got kickboxing throughout these cards as well. You mentioned about Arian Zeki. One thing I always remember about Arian, he's a guy that knows how to promote a fight. There's one thing about him. You know, he's going to be taking on Dylan Tolbert. I've talked to Dylan in the past here, and the note that was given to me is these guys don't like each other.
No, they hate each other. There's no bones about it. They both think each other are extremely arrogant. Arian Zeki's pissed off that he's got to fight someone like Dylan Tolbert. He says Dylan Tolbert's not in his league. You know, we're like, hey, listen, you got to get through Dylan, and then we'll keep working. He doesn't even want to fight Dylan. He said he's not even in my class. No way. And then Dylan Tolbert is the guy that comes out and he'll fight anybody, any place, anywhere. And he wants to fight. And he cannot stand Arian and says he's so arrogant. You know, so there's no love lost between those two. You know, someone like Evan Elders and CJ Hunter. Both, you know, nice young men. They don't have anything bad to say about each other. But then you got someone like Arian Zeki and Dylan Tolbert. We will definitely have security at the weigh-ins. I can tell you that, because those two, they hate each other. I mean, they truly do. So that's good. You know, on our cards, we always try to mix in two kickboxing fights in the cage. So in this one, we have two fights as well. We have two kickboxing on each one of the cards. So with 13 fights. So we'll have 11 MMA and two kickboxing.
A couple of prospects that were mentioned to me that are on this card, on the Saturday card, Corbin Howard, Brandon Lowe, also a David Evans who's on the Friday show.
Yes, Corbin Howard is a stud. I mean, he's a kid that's up and coming. He's a complete stud. I mean, that's a good one, too. Yeah, David Evans is on Friday night. The Saturday night, you're going to have Corbin Howard, Jeff Crotty, and Carl Jefferson. Jeff Crotty said to him, listen, I don't want a purse. Let's just fight winner take all. So they're fighting basically winner take all. If you lose, you don't get anything. If not, this is what the winner gets. And it's a pretty good chunk of money. And they both say, hey, let's do it. So those two have been chirping back and forth as well. So we'll see. I mean, it's like the wrestling match, you know, I guess we're like winner takes all. So, and this is Jeff Crotty. He's like, hey, ask him. He's like, he's a bum. I'll beat him in the alley. I'll beat him in the cage. Let's do it. And he said, see, he'll fight for his purse. I'll take his purse too. And Carl's like, really? Let's do it. So there's a little storyline for you too.
I was about to ask, like, okay, who presented it and what was your reaction?
Of Jeff Crotty, of course. He's a nut. He's great. But he is one of these guys that just, he says whatever on his mind at all time. And I was like, hey, I can't actually approve that. But if Jefferson wants to do it, we can do it. And Jefferson's like, yeah, let's go for it. So they're fighting all or nothing. Winner take all.
So how's that work with the commission?
So the commission, you just write in the contract. You're writing the contract and whoever gets the check, essentially. They have a check with here's the amount. And then they give them the check at the end. And we had to get approved by the commission, but there was no concern. As long as it's all done legally, it's not an issue.
You mentioned about Dustin Lampros, who's on the Ultimate Fighter, has come up through your organization, kind of a part of that pipeline from your region going down to Sanford down here in South Florida. Do you remember something early on when you saw it in Dustin and you just kind of said, okay, this kid's got it?
Yeah, I mean, he's one of these kids that he lives it, man. This is all he does. Like, he eats, sleeps, and breathes it, and he's a tremendous athlete. He is his nickname's Scrappy for a reason. And the kid is just a goer. And you know what? He's a really smart young man. And this is what he's wanted to do his whole life. And you know what? He's fulfilling his dream, and I'm happy for him. And, you know, he's one of these kids that, like, he sets out goals and he does it. You know, and it's someone like Evan Elders. You know, remember these names. These are the kids. I mean, they came up, they grew up in our gym, you know, where they worked their butts off and they got to a point that truly we couldn't take them to another level. And so now they're down there and I'm proud of them and happy for them and they're kicking butt.
You mentioned about Joaquin Buckley. And one of the things that really stuck out to me is the evolution of him as a fighter from the guy that we saw in Bellator to now the fighter we see in the UFC. Was there a moment you saw something in him that you knew there was that, you know, his game was going to go to this level? Because the guy I'm seeing in the UFC is not the guy I saw in Bellator.
Yeah. I mean, Joaquin Buckley is a kid that walked into our gym when he was 17 years old. You know, I was hitting mitts with him literally from the beginning. That's actually when I was training fighters more at the time. And he's just he's a good young man, a tremendous athlete, and just has always wanted it. And, And truly, like, if you look at his fights in Bellator, man, who do you fight? Logan Storley? Like, I mean, probably the best wrestler in MMA, right? In MMA. I mean, go put Logan Storley against him. And Logan Storley will tell you, still to this day, Joaquin's the hardest guy he's ever had to hold down. I mean, he got a tough matchup there. And you know what? They basically said, hey, winner, like, I mean, this is going to be for our next big prospect. And Buckley ended up on the losing end of that. But you know what? You look back at it, and he thinks it's probably the best thing ever happened to him. You know, he had to learn from that. And now if you watch Joaquin fight now, and he's like a son to me. I mean, I love the kid to death. He is one of the guys that, like, he fights with a chip on his shoulder. And he fights with a chip on his shoulder because he feels like the cards have been stacked against him. You know, and he's one of these, like, where he's like, you know what? I'm going to prove I belong here. And you know what? One of the things no one even talks about with Joaquin Buckley, he fights it. He's fought his whole career at 170. He took this short notice fight at 185. So, and he's stuck at 185 because he's like, I feel good here. He could be a 170. He could be a force to be reckoned with 170 in the UFC. But he is a big, and he's only 5'8", you know, 5'8", 5'9", maybe. But he's just built like a tank. And you know what? And he's one of these guys that he's naturally built that way. That's just his build. He's getting bigger and bigger and just, you know, he's I think 27 now, but like, I mean, that's, he's a young, he's, you know, he's filling out his body basically.
Yeah. You know, one of the things we've always talked about with you and what you do with your charity event every year, unfortunately, you're unable to do it. We still raised $500,000 last year. So how did that happen, man?
Well, I'll tell you, our great sponsors. So last year we did not have the Guns and Hoses, which is, you know, police and fire boxing against each other and do MMA against each other and do kickboxing against each other. In the past, we've raised, you know, $900,000, $800,000. And this year we were, everything was ready to go, right? And then sponsor money was in. We were going to do the show. We weren't going to do the show. We're going to do the show. And then we basically went to the sponsor and said, hey, do you want your money back? We're not going to do the event. And the sponsor said, no, we still want to support the Backstoppers. We still want to support, you know, police officers and first responders of, you know, they've been killed in the line of duty. So, nobody, I mean, we gave all the money, and you know what, this year we hope to come back and raise even more money and keep doing what we do for the first responders, truly.
In terms of final thing, and it's always, man, I appreciate time. Have you got a target amount of events that you plan to do this year?
Right now we're planning on, you know, we're going to hit the ground running right now. So, yeah. I mean, we're going to go probably somewhere between four and six, you know? So, I mean, so we start in June, so it's about one a month. I mean, so we're going to get things. We got September already lined out. I think we're going in October, and then we're going in December. So things are rolling, and we're on it. You know what? We're already actually planning for 2022 right now. And we should actually hopefully release that schedule here probably the next 30, 60 days too.
Of course, let everyone know, we can get all the information on Shamrock FC and, of course, you know, the social media channels and all that, man.
ShamrockFC.com, and you can find us on Facebook at Shamrock FC, the Shamrock FC Twitter, Shamrock FC on Instagram. Just check us out. And, you know, if you can't make the fights, check it out on Fight TV, because I can't tell you, like, if you're watching from all across the country or here locally and you want to come to the fights, I would highly recommend you get your tickets now, because there will, I mean, I think we met this morning on tickets, and I don't think there will be tickets available probably 2 or 3 days before the fight even comes about. So it's going to be amazing. Thank you for all your guys' support. You guys have a great weekend, and thanks for everything all you guys do.
And that was my conversation with Shamrock FC CEO Jesse Finney. I appreciate him coming on the podcast to talk about his upcoming events here, June 25th and 26th. Great story there he tells about the matchup where a winner-take-all matchup, and also getting his take on Dustin Lampros, who's on this season of The Ultimate Fighter, and Joaquin Buckley, of course, who we've seen in the UFC. And like I mentioned in that interview, you know, the Joaquin Buckley I saw in Bellator is not the Joaquin Buckley that we currently see in the UFC. So I appreciate Jesse coming on the show. Of course, if you're not in the Missouri area and cannot attend Shamrock FC here at the end of the month, both those events will be available on Fight TV. Now, coming up next, you're going to hear my conversation with Myron Malachi, the president of the XFC. XFC 44 took place a little over a week ago, and of course, featured the semifinals and the lightweight and welterweight tournament. So in this conversation, you're going to hear Myron talk about you know, his thoughts on XFC 44. Also drops a little news here on when the lightweight and welterweight tournament finals will take place. Joining me now here on the MMA Report is a man that, of course, the man that runs the XFC. They just had an event last week. XFC 44, come here on the podcast, talk about what happened. Myron Malachi. Myron, appreciate you coming on the show. I guess first off, how do you sum up XFC 44?
You know, I think when we take a look at it, as far as preparation for an event, this is the best preparation we've had in a decade. Everyone was on point. Everything went really well. And of course, you know, the fighters put on a great show. We had some issues, you know, with a little bit of production issues that we had going on with sound. We had communication issues, which, you know, when you do a live event, you're always running a risk that something's going to blow up on you. And we experienced that right in the beginning when we started with Young Guns. I think, you know, some of the key things that we really need to change is really take a look at XFC TV. For the fans that tuned into XFC TV, it was more of a raw look than looking on Fox, for instance, or what HBO is going to be in the future. So we're in conversations with XFC TV just to make sure that we really get dialed in Make sure that there's content during commercial breaks with Fox and everyone else there that we're broadcasting with. But other than that, I'll tell you, the venue, the hotel, travel, all the logistics, perfect. Everything that happened, you know, with changing fighters so late going into this event, all the changes we had to make, you know, they were hurdles, but we got past all of them. So very happy with the way it came out.
Yeah, you had, you know, as I look on Tapology, we had officially three fights that fell out, two more in your tournament matchups. And I remember, you know, talking to Kurt about that, which I mentioned this on my last episode. I thought the Kurt tweet after the fight was like, you know, I always say this, MMA Twitter can be a very hostile, volatile place, but it was a very cool video to see him talk, you know, as his son is holding the pass for him as he's getting ready. And I know in talking to him over last year of how training has changed, he's talked about how this is, you know, the bond with him and his son of martial arts. I thought that was just one of the feel good moments I saw on MMA Twitter last week.
Yeah, it was great. You know, Kurt's whole family was there. And, you know, when we take a look at this, you know, what's the right way to do it? What's, you know, everyone says, oh, you know, you're allowing a kid to hold pads. You know, even when we did our, you know, weigh-ins on Thursday night, his son walked him up for the weigh-ins, for the face-off. And, you know, after Kurt did his thing with his opponent there, I called him over. I called the kid over and we did a face-off. And everyone's, oh, why would you do that? You know, hey, you know what? What's the wrong way to do anything, really? You know, we're having fun. We put so much work into it, so much effort. And, you know, I don't give a shit. You know, we're going to have fun. We're going to make a great, great experience for our fighters and a great experience for our fans.
And of course, he goes out there, he gets the win, moves on into the final of this lightweight tournament. Also, Demonte Robinson getting the win there at 55. And I remember, I thought it was interesting when I talked to Kurt leading up to this one, I was like, you know, hey, are you paying attention to the other side of the bracket? He's like, no, not really. He goes, I know who's in it. He goes, but also what I thought was very interesting, what he said to me, he said, he loved the format. He's like, he goes, cause look, I understand where I'm going. There is no, okay, if this happens, that happens. Like, hey, I win. I move on to the finals. I'm meeting the winner of that fight.
Hey, Jason, you know what? Kurt's a wily veteran. You know, he's been around and done a lot of great things in his career. And, you know, he really gets it. Everything that he does is prep, just his thought process for this tournament, because you can't look past, you know, am I in an easy bracket or how am I seeded or this isn't right. I have to start out with this guy. You're going to fight some tough dudes, you know. Every step of the way. And, you know, Kurt's performance was just awe-inspiring. I'll tell you, the unrelenting pressure he put on Verdugo. Verdugo's a good fighter. You know, he's a tough kid. And Kurt just smothered him during that fight. Great execution of a game plan right there.
Of course, in the 170, had LaRue Burley go out there and get a third round win. Also, Bobby Nash goes out there. He gets a win in the first round. As we look at the finals of these tournaments, is there a timeline of when it potentially can happen?
Yeah, there is actually. I'm glad you asked. We've been working on that. So what we're doing, you know, is we continue to navigate through COVID, commissions, venues, things like that. We're going to go with the and you're going to be the first one to hear it. The fighters don't know, except for Kurt. Kurt knows because we had a conversation. So we're going to go August, August 6th. We're going to change it up. We're going to bring it to Michigan.
Okay.
We're going to have a great event here in Michigan. We have a lot of, you know, Michigan fighters that have passed through the hexagon with us. And, of course, the tryouts that we had, a lot of great options in the area. But more importantly, we're really looking at that Atlanta, Oklahoma City, Michigan tryouts from the young gun side. And then we're also seeing it's opening up a little bit. We can start bringing some fighters in from out of country. Not as many as we want, not necessarily the countries that we want, but with that opening up, the matchmakers, they've been rolling on it since we got out of Des Moines. And this fight card, August 6th, is going to be outrageous. So we're going to do the 70 finals in August, and we're going to do the 55s in Cancun. We're going to Mexico. It looks like October 1st. We're still working out details with Fox, making sure that our schedule is good there. But we're hoping October 1st is going to be the date in Mexico.
Obviously, all these states are opening up with allowing fans in. Here in my home state of Florida, it's been a while now that that's going on here. But what is going on in Michigan in terms of, you know, how are you going to have, you know, 50% capacity, or are you hoping you can potentially have, you know, more than that?
Well, it sounds like, you know, and we've got a batshit crazy governor. Am I allowed to say that?
You can say whatever you want.
Okay, yeah. No, we've got a batshit crazy governor here. So, you know, it's hard to trust exactly what's going to happen. But July 1st, supposedly everything's opening up. I think she's had so much pressure. And, of course, all the small businesses in Michigan that have been affected by her policies here. Michigan's tired. Michigan's done with it. And our understanding is July 1st, it's going to open up. We're going to go full capacity. You know, we'll still have, you know, protocols in place to protect our fighters and, of course, protect the fans. But with that being said, it looks like Michigan's going to be wide open for us.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I thought was interesting here in the Tampa Bay area, our local soccer team, they're going full capacity. But they've also basically counter off a part of the venue where they're still going to do social distancing for basically people who say, I still want to be in social distancing, which I thought was interesting. I don't know if we that would happen in MMA, but I thought that was an interesting way to look at it in terms of going full capacity.
I think that's really cool. You know, hey, listen, who's to say how you should feel about all this? You know, everyone has to do what's best for themselves and their family. And, you know, if you're at risk, I mean, it's been very simple that, you know, it's been, the message has been, if you're at risk, stay home, be safe, you know, but you got to let people live. And, you know, that's a great concept. I do appreciate what they're doing there in Tampa with that soccer team. Pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. I had never really seen someone do it that way. And I was like, wow, that's, I think for the people who are like, I really don't necessarily sit next to somebody. Look, I was at Universal Studios last weekend. I'm telling you, it was jam-packed, you know, so, but it was definitely interesting there. Your main event of this fight card, you had two UFC vets going at it. Quinones gets the win against Andre. I've seen some of the Instagram posts that Andre has put out there. What's kind of the thought process with Quinones going forward?
You know, both of them. Quinones was great. I mean, the kid showed up. He was so happy to be there. And, you know, he walked into the hotel, and we decorate that hotel pretty good. You know, XFC just invades wherever we go. And the first thing, you know, the doors slide open and he walks in and there's a full size, you know, stand up banner of him. You know, just as soon as he walks in the door, and he just lit up, and he's a fun kid, you know. Primarily speak Spanish, and you know, but we got through some great conversations. So really excited to have him in the XFC roster. And Andre, it speaks for itself. You know, I love Andre and his family. It was a tough night for him. You know, Quinones came in with a game plan and really took away a lot of Andre's weapons that we've been so used to seeing. So, you know, as we move forward, the 35s are so important to us because, as you know, we've got all these young guns coming up. We're kicking off in Michigan. You know, XFC 45 and Young Guns 3 are going to be the Michigan event, but we're going to start that 35 tournament. And we've got some wild names coming in. I'll tell you, a lot of interest in that. So we're going to really get after that 35 division.
I know in our previous conversation, you've talked about using the Young Gun series, not just, you know, obviously, you know, finding, you know, up and coming talent that are, you know, just making, you know, just turning into professional ranks. But I look at a guy like an Austin Bashy, who's now 3-0. He's fought for you now multiple times here. Is he at the point of potentially getting in that tournament?
I don't think so. Not yet. You know, we're going to have a Young Guns tournament as well. Once we get some of these kids through some events and see what we have. And, you know, it's about development. You know, everyone was on the Davey Young train, right? And I was on and still am on the Davey Young train because that is one talented kid right there. He's something special. He's going to make a lot of noise in the hexagon over the years. But that's why it's a development league because, as you know, the saying goes, you either win or you learn, right? Mm-hmm. And for Davey, he learned. He was pissed. He thought he won the fight. A lot of people thought he won the fight. But it doesn't matter. He didn't win the fight. And the learning experience he got, he had three really wide open opportunities to finish that fight, okay? And he hesitated, and he didn't finish it. So I think when you see a kid like Davey, development league, learning experience, next time you see him fight, it's going to be scary. He's going to be one scary dude inside that cage for us. And, you know, Jay Kozorowski, that kid, that first round, he could have been out so many times. That's one of the toughest kids I've ever seen. He put on a great show. He kept coming forward. He never quit. A little unorthodox in his style, maybe. But I'll tell you what, the kid, like RoboCop out there. I mean, he just took that beating, kept coming. And I really appreciate him, too. He's going to be something special.
Brett Martin, who I'm familiar with him, you know, he made his way up that Michigan scene, got into LFA, and, you know, he had some time off. He gets in here. Of course, he had the change up in opponent here. Is heavyweight potentially in the thought process of a tournament, and maybe he's kind of the guy he gets built around?
I don't know that we're looking at a tournament. You know, Brett's, in my mind, he's always going to be on the super fight card. If we do a tournament, we'll discuss having him involved in that as well. But, you know, everyone forgets he's been around so long. He's a young kid still. I think, what is he, 26, 27 maybe. And, you know, he's had just some horrible experiences with guys backing out, not showing up, whatever it is. But we're really happy to get him inside the cage. You know, as far as heavyweight or super heavyweight, with that last minute change we had to make and Marino Wheatman coming in as his opponent, we wanted to make sure both guys were ready, which is why we opened up the super heavyweight. I think what we're going to find with Brett, whether super heavyweight or heavyweight, it's really going to depend on what kind of opponents can we find, right? It's really, really tough to find a super heavyweight that's athletic, that, you know, can get past one round of banging, right? Yeah. It's normally just, you know, a few hits and someone's going down. But those guys, 301, 303 pounds, okay? They won three rounds. I think that's one of the more impressive things I've seen. It was incredible. And they kept going. They didn't let off the gas at all. So it was cool.
Yeah, it's, you know, with Brett, I mean, obviously he's kind of, you know, unfortunately kind of the way things went down in LFA, you know, in terms of where he's at. You know, he's a guy, great personality for people who haven't had a chance to talk to him. You know, great personality guy to talk to. You know, you mentioned about August 6th. You mentioned about October 1st. Will those be the only two shows remaining this year, or are you hoping maybe get another, you know, show or two after that in this calendar year?
We're definitely going to have one, and we're hoping to do two. So, you know, whether that's going to be November, especially since we're doing such an early October event, I think that you'll see a November, and, you know, we may see something really cool, a little holiday season, but maybe there's going to be a New Year's bash going on. We'll see.
We'll have to look forward to that one. Anything else that, you know, we should be knowing about what's going on with the XFC?
You know, we just keep driving forward. You know, just so excited about as this roster grows. That's probably the biggest moves is we start closing these 35s and start getting to the point where we can make an announcement. This 35 is going to be special, something that you'll want to know for sure, but it's going to be a 16-man. And it's going to be an 8-man out of, you know, basically what we find in the U.S., maybe a little Mexico, Canada. Fighters that we can get in that makes sense. Then there's going to be another 8-man that's going to start in Cancun. And that's going to be a lot of Latin American fighters that the fighters can travel throughout Latin America easily. So we're going to have those two divisions, and then there's going to be a clash at the end. It's going to be awesome.
Would you ever consider doing like having fighters fight multiple times in one night? I mean, there's been other promotions recently that have done, you know, 4-man, 8-man in one night.
No, I don't think the fans really see, you know, the fighter's effort. You know, there's got to be a strategy. If you think you're going to move on to the second fight of the night, what are you going to do in the first fight? Okay, hey, won the first round, I'm going to, you know, just – that's the problem with the sport, okay? It's just guys being careful, right? Yeah. Being cautious out there. You know, I want fighters that bang right from the very beginning, and it's go time until it's over. End of story. And when you start splitting it up that way, I'm personally not a fan of it. I think that you're not going to see the best of the fighter, and I think the fans are going to get robbed of a lot of potential that could be happening inside the cage.
Of course, if anyone gets information on the XFC, let them know where they can go, the website, social channels, anything else you want to mention, man.
Yeah, hey, XFCMMA.net's our website. XFC MMA Facebook and at Official XFC with all the other ones that I'm too old to know how to work any of it. But, you know, we're all over the place. As they say, Google me, bitch. You'll find us.
Well, you're not on TikTok? Well, you don't have a personal TikTok? Is that what you're saying?
I've seen that. You know, I have teenagers at home, believe me. I know what this TikTok thing's all about. Absolutely ridiculous. I've got some amazing athletes doing some absolutely crazy things on TikTok. It's like, seriously? Get out there and play a little lacrosse. Let's go.
Yeah, I am not a TikTok person. No, I am not. I am neither, but I definitely know plenty of people that are. Myron, as always, man, I appreciate time, man.
Hey, Jason, thanks for having me on.
And there you have my conversation with Myron Malarkey. I appreciate him coming on the podcast to take a look back at what happened at XFC 44 and drops a little news there about the fact of the welterweight final is going to take place August 6th in Michigan. And the lightweight final is targeted to take place October the 1st in Cancun. Also dropped a little nugget there about how they're going to do a 16-man bantamweight tournament. So really interesting insight there. And also I thought it was pretty interesting him talking about, you know, looking to bring in more international fighters into the XFC. So I appreciate Myron taking time out of his day to speak to me. Of course, you know, earlier in the show, we had Jesse Finney, and he was talking about Dustin Lampros. And yesterday, I actually sat down and I watched the first episode of The Ultimate Fighter. And I mean, look, I've kind of said my thing about The Ultimate Fighter. It's just not a show that has intrigued me over the past couple of years. It just hasn't. But so I took it. But I do understand there's people out there that do enjoy The Ultimate Fighter. But I did watch the first episode, and I'll be honest, my first initial take is it really felt like the same Ultimate Fighter that I've watched, you know, for all these countless years. And I mentioned I have not actively watched the Ultimate Fighter in a couple of years, but I will tell you, like, there's two fighters on this season, the Ultimate Fighter, that I'm very much paying attention to just because of our three fighters, I should say, of fighters I have talked to over the years: Dustin Lampros, Mitch Raposo, and also Cameron Lachinoff. You know, I don't, you know, if you haven't checked out the episode one, I don't want to kind of give away anything that happened in episode one, but there definitely was some interesting things there. And, you know, I said on the podcast last week, I really do believe Mitch Raposo is the guy to beat 135 pounds. I mean, yes, he's a young guy in his career, ultimately probably a flyweight in the UFC, not at bantamweight, but to me, he's the guy to beat there. And, you know, Cameron Lachinoff, I think it's just really interesting to kind of see how he gets matched up, because if he goes up against a striker, I think that could be some entertaining TV and potentially a guy that, you know, I could see the UFC wanting to be in the Cameron Lachinoff business, depending on whatever happens in this season of the Ultimate Fighter. Also, over this past couple of days, Terrence McKinney, who headlined LFA 109, had him on the show last week, gets the win there. Another stoppage victory for him, a ground and pound that he had there. He's now won three in a row. A guy that I would honestly be surprised if his next fight's not in the UFC. He's done some great things here on the regional scene, and to me, is a guy that I think we're going to see in the UFC in the very near future. Justin Wetzel, who also got a win at LFA 109, I think it's another guy to pay attention to, potentially get into the UFC in terms of his next fight. And of course, this week in MMA, we have got all the three major promotions all have shows going on this week. Thursday, we've got the PFL, which of course will be the MMA debut of Clarissa Shields, which I am very intrigued to see what that does look like. And then on Friday, we've got Bellator 260. And then of course on Saturday, UFC 263. I'm actually, today I do plan to sit down and watch that unedited interview that Michael Bisping had with Israel Adesanya and Marvin Vettori. Of course, watching that on the broadcast last night, and you know, it's you know, those two guys that, you know, they don't like each other. And a little, I don't know how much this has really been talked about. I saw this on Twitter earlier today. The fact of their fight on Saturday, the rematch, will take place in the same exact building that their first fight took place there in Arizona. So a little interesting nugget on that one. But yeah, looking forward to UFC 263. You know, got, you know, two title fights. Plus we got Nate Diaz, Leon Edwards, a 5-round fight. Potentially, that I would tell you, that could potentially be a long night of fights in terms of the pay-per-view, with having three fights scheduled for 25 minutes. Of course, Bellator headlined by Diego Lima taking on Amosov, and that's a great matchup there.
at 170 pounds. I will say when Bellator sent over the fight card for you for Bellator 260, I think the thing that really shocked me is the fact that Nick Newell was on the prelims. That one surprised me a little bit. I thought that they would put Nick Newell there on the main card. But looking forward to this week's MMA. And of course, I mentioned on Thursday the MMA debut of Clarissa Shields. I mean, look, I do expect that that's probably a showcase fight for Clarissa Shields, because I think in all reality, they want to build her up, but it's going to be a long build, and it'll be interesting to kind of see what happens with the PFL and women's fights as they head into 2022, because the likelihood is I don't see Kayla Harrison a part of the PFL in 2022 because her contract is up, and I think that she wants to go to the UFC or Bellator, but she might be able to make more money in the PFL because of those paydays. But so it's going to be a busy week in terms of MMA. Of course, coming up on Wednesday, myself and Daniel Galvan, we will get you ready for UFC 263. Of course, we'll get you ready for Bellator and PFL as well. Of course, if there's any ever have a topic or comment or question that you want to hear myself or Daniel or both of us talk about on the podcast, you can hit me up on social media at Jason_Floyd, or if you want to shoot me an email, it's Jason@themareport.com. So that's going to do it for this edition of the MMA Report podcast, which comes out two times a week on Sunday and on Wednesday on your favorite podcasting platform and RadioInfluence.com.